let's go ahead, let's pray, and then let's get into the Word. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the many blessings you've given to us, and Lord, for meeting us here during a time of worship. We ask now that as we study your Word, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would really learn about worship, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, indeed, these Psalms 98, 99, and 100 are worship psalms, and as we take a look at them, we're going to take a look at some different aspects of worship as we go through this today. And so, starting off with Psalm 98, verse 1, it says, "A psalm. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations." And so as we begin with this psalm here, there is the singing to the Lord because why? He has done marvelous things. Because his right hand, his holy arm, has gained him victory, and because it is the Lord who has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of nations. As we take a look at that, what is the first thing that we grasp hold of? Is that it is God who is almighty, right? That it is God who brings forth the things that bring glory, that he's the one that brings forth victory, and also that as we take a look at it, that it is God who has brought forth salvation. Here's one of the things I just find interesting as I take a look at this, just to note quickly, is that God doesn't always do things the way we think they should be done. Right? He doesn't, does he? He doesn't do things in the manner that we think or are according to our guidelines. Now, in the day, in the time in which Jesus was born, the Israelites were looking for a Messiah. The Jews were looking for their Messiah. They were looking at prophecies. They were praying. They were checking things out. They were looking for a Messiah to come. They were ready for it. But the thing is, you see, is the Messiah that they were looking for was a military leader. They were looking for a Messiah who was a man of power. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to come in, and he was going to come in with chariots and horsemen. He was a Messiah that was going to drive out Rome, and he was going to bring about freedom to the people. And once again, Israel would be a world power. Once again, Jerusalem would be a place of honor and glory unto God. And this is what they were looking for in a Messiah. But what happened? God didn't bring chariots and horsemen and a military leader, did he? Instead, he brought in a lamb. Instead, he brought in a babe, right? And in Luke chapter 2, there's a man named Simeon. And Simeon had been told by the Lord that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Simeon had been waiting all his life for this Messiah to come. He had been waiting and looking, and most likely he had been waiting to hear the day that those chariots would come rumbling in, and the horse hoofs would come, and the thunder and the sound of the army coming in with the Messiah who would overthrow Rome. That's what he was hoping for, most likely. That's what he was maybe expecting because of the teachings of the day, because of the things that were being talked about the things that the people had hoped for. But yet, one day, he's there at the temple, and here comes this couple. young teenage girl carrying a baby, carpenter, without much money, walking up the steps, and the Lord says, there he is. There's the salvation of Israel. There's the Messiah. There. And at that point in time, Simeon had a decision to make. He had a choice to make. Was he going to accept that that was God's salvation? That that was the Messiah? He had been waiting all these years, all of his life, to see a Messiah, to behold salvation of Israel, to see this one who was going to bring salvation to all, this one who had been prophesied of, and it's a teenage girl carrying a baby. And it wasn't her, it was her baby. And her husband's this poor carpenter. And that's the way God is going to bring his salvation in. Now, Simeon had a choice. He could go, oh, give me a break. Are you kidding me, God? Is that the best you can do? Is bring a baby? It's like, what's a baby going to do? Spit up on somebody? You know, I mean, how is that going to help us out with Rome and all this? I mean, he could have gotten really belligerent about the whole thing. I've been waiting all these years for that. It just strike me now. Right? That could have been his whole attitude, right? I just can't believe it. And oftentimes, that's our attitude, isn't it? We're waiting for something. We're praying for something. We're looking for something. We have our heart invested in something. And then God brings something to us and says, here it is. And we go, that? Really? Well, that's not exactly what I was hoping for. God, could we go talk about this a little bit first, please? We have a choice to make. And with the choices we make, we can make a choice. We can either take a look at what God is bringing to us, the blessing that he brings to us, the salvation that he brings to us, and we can accept it, or we can reject it. What happens when we reject it? What happens when I reject the salvation God brings to me? What happens when I reject the blessings that he brings to me? When he comes to me and he says, this is me and I'm moving in power, and I reject it. I rip myself off. That's what happens. I get ripped off. He's still God. He's still powerful. He's still moving. He's still doing things. But when I have a hard heart and a bad attitude, then I get ripped off. But what did Simeon do? What did he do when he was there? He didn't get upset. He didn't get all bent out of shape. He didn't go, oh, come on, give me a break. Really, the baby? You know, did you change him? You know? No. But instead, what did he do? He took him. He held Jesus, the baby, and he blessed him. And he rejoiced in the Lord over the salvation. My eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. He was excited. He was blessed. This is the power of God. This is his moving. This is his hand at work. And you know what happened? Not only was he able to receive the blessing that God had for him, but he also was able to take part in it. Right? He was able to take part in it, and through that, the Lord moved in him, and we have now for us a record of Simeon and his heart towards the Lord and his blessing the Lord and all. And he got blessed, as he was able to recognize and to see the fulfillment of God's promise to himself. How oftentimes do we rip ourselves off because we're looking for something else? We do, don't we? And we miss out on so much. And God says, this is the blessing that I have for you. Right here. And we can take it. We have a decision to make, or we can leave it. But whenever we leave it behind, you know what else we're leaving behind besides the blessing, the thing that we're turning away from? Is the moving of God on our behalf. Do you realize that? God Almighty moving in his power by his righteousness on our behalf to bless us. Wow. You know, I would rather take the things that he brings to me. I would rather receive them and be blessed and receive the blessings that are there and continue to grow in my relationship with the Lord. You know, this is difficult for me. I was going through these Psalms. I was reading through these, and I'm going to try very hard to not get sidetracked too far, although I'm warning you now, I am going on a rabbit trail, but I'm going to come back really quick. But you know, the stuff, and all of us here have been majorly affected, okay? Coming up next week is going to mark 2 months since Nancy's been gone. And we have all been affected by that, all of us. And you know, I'm going through these Psalms of praise, and I have a decision I can make. I can either praise God, even though I don't understand why everything worked the way it did, why things happened the way they did, you know, and I can look and I can dwell on things that I could have changed and things I could have done differently and learn, and I have definitely learned a lot of things about myself and all, and I can move forward and I can pray, God, if you ever bless me to be married again in another relationship, there's things that I've learned about myself that I don't want to ever have happen again, things I don't ever want to do again, or things I don't ever want to go through again. And, you know, as I go through that, I have a decision I can make. I can either go through God's Word and I can go through these Psalms of praise and I can learn how to praise Him because He is God. He is the one on the throne. He is the one with power. Or I can just sit in the muck and mire and, you know, here's the deal, and we'll get through this, is when we're praising God, we're praising Him because of who He is and the work that He has already done for us, right? Not because of who we are, because of what we want, and because of what He's going to give to us. But because of His goodness. Get off my rabbit trail. Verse 3 says, He has, speaking of God, He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord. All the earth break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. So worship is to be energetic. I like that. I like energetic worship. I like the upbeat worship. I like it. I think it's great. You know, But there are those that get offended by it. That's what I say. Too bad. But you know, there is like some different people, and they're like, you know, well, we can't have any instruments. It's all a cappella. And a cappella is beautiful, but man, instruments are great. What about the people that can play and can't sing? You know? Yeah, they can rejoice in the Lord with their musical abilities, right? Man, let's use all things to worship and praise the Lord. But we are to be energetic. There's a thing on YouTube. I forwarded it to Daryl. I don't know if he got that forward. But there is an iPod Touch worship team. What? Yeah, you know those little iPod things, these little Apple iPod things? And they got like these different apps for instruments and stuff. And there is a YouTube video of a worship team sitting there with their iPods, even using them as the microphones to sing into. And they're in a recording studio, and they're doing praise music. And it was like, this is amazing. Look at these guys, you know. I sent it to Daryl. It's like, here he is, man, the new worship team. Everyone's going to walk up with their iPod touches, you know, start doing it. But, you know, praise the Lord with all things. With all things, in all ways, right? Jesus was coming in, that triumphal entry, and everybody's worshiping and praising and celebrating, and there are the Pharisees. Hey, man, tell those people to be quiet. Tell your disciples to pipe down, the religious leaders said. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to them in Luke 19:40, he said, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. You know, God wants to be worshipped. He wants to be praised. You know, I don't think there's an accident that God put in the scriptures the account of David coming in before the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, dancing and singing and praising the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we're going to, like, get all wild and crazy and start jumping, you know, doing, like, leaping from aisle to aisle, and, you know, and our insurance would go ballistic on us. But the thing is, you know, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands and praising the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being excited about singing unto the Lord. I think it's the enemy that speaks to us and says, oh no, don't sing, man. The person next to you might hear you. I think that's the enemy doing that. And why would he do that? Because he doesn't want you worshiping God. Because he's jealous. That's why. Hey, any thought you get in your mind that tells you that you shouldn't worship God or that you should hold back or what have you, that's not from the Lord. That's not from God. That's from the enemy. Because he doesn't want God being worshipped. Lift your hands. Raise your voice. Sing praise unto the Lord. Sing praise unto the Lord. It is a glorious thing. So here the psalmist says, hey, let's the music play, man. Let's worship. Verse 7 says, let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. What a day it will be when Jesus comes back, when the floods clap their hands. It's just talking about the waves just like slapping together, making a big clap unto the Lord, you know. What a great day it's going to be, you know, when the mountains break forth in song. It's going to be amazing. Can you imagine what is that going to look like? What's it going to sound like? That's going to be awesome. When even seemingly insurmountable obstacles and events happen, things that go on and we wind up being convinced, man, these things are just so heavy. These things are just so difficult. You know what? We need to get over it. We need to get our eyes on Jesus, you see, because things would come up to make us feel heavy, to make us feel weighted down. It's easy. It's easy for us to be in that place, isn't it? It's easy for us to feel weighted down. It's easy for us to feel, you know, grieved and all and go, oh, man. But you know, that's not what the Lord wants for us. Oh, yeah, we have emotions, and God's given to us all the emotions so that way we can work through different things that happen in our lives and that we can be real, and, you know, we can have feelings and all that stuff. But the thing is, He wants us to move to a point and to a place where we are worshiping Him and recognizing that, hey, there's going to come a day when even the mountains are going to sing, when even the oceans are going to clap, when the Lord is going to be glorified. There's been times in our worship services when, you know, we'll have a song and everyone's singing and you just hear, you know, everybody's just really singing to the Lord. And it's great. And at the end of it, you know, somebody will clap and it's almost like they begin to clap and then, you know, they just kind of go, like, I'm the only one clapping, you know. And I wonder, why not clap to the Lord? Why not? What's wrong with that? Is there something wrong with blessing the Lord? The ocean's going to clap. Its waves are going to slap forth. The mountains are going to crack open and sing. Man, isn't it interesting how nature itself will spring forth spring forth to praise God, but yet to pry open our mouths sometimes or get us to bring our hands together in celebration of the Lord is like, it's difficult, huh? What is the deal with that? Let's get over ourselves, man. Let's give it up for Jesus. Let's praise Him, right? Okay, Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved or shaken. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. He is holy, the King's strength. Also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice in righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. Worship, as we've said, should be joyful and energetic, right? It should be joyful and energetic, but it should also be reverent, okay? Remember I said we're not going to start like jumping, you know, from chair to chair and, you know, across the aisles and, you know, doing the limbo and whatever kind of crazy stuff, you know? Why? Because it's also to be reverent. We can celebrate and we can worship the Lord and we can praise Him, but where does that excitement come from? It comes from our heart, right? It comes from our heart. You see, you can do all kinds of the movements. You can do the swinging around. You know, you can do all this stuff, but, you know, that's just energy. That's just movement going on. There's got to be a heart attached to it, right? There's got to be a heart attached to it. And when my heart is attached to my worship of God and the recognition of His holiness, His righteousness, His goodness, His judgments, then my worship goes like this. Because, Lord, you are holy. You are awesome. You are righteous. Lord, I give myself all to you. And I also open myself up to receive all that you have for me, Lord. I'm just totally open. I want totally open flow of communication back and forth between you and I, Lord. And so here I stand, open before you, Lord, reaching out for you as you reach out to me. Lord, here I am. And that's where I'm at when I'm worshiping God. This is where I'm at. You see? And then sometimes it's more intimate. And it's here. It's like, Lord, here I am humbly before you. Lord, here I am in reverence and respect. You see? We see the psalmist, he's advocating bowing down in a posture of humility as a response to the awareness of God's holiness. Wednesday nights, we've changed the format of the service. And some of you have been here and you've partaken of that, and that's a great thing. You know, we start off 6:30 with coffee, you know, and, you know, you can get like mochas and lattes or, you know, whatever kind of stuff they can make with one of those machines. You can get those, okay? I'm not into all the fancy names, and I know what I like, and so I've learned to order that. But the rest of the names, I haven't got those down yet. You know, some people they speak it like a whole nother language. You know, I want to, you know, and it's like, whoa, is that safe to drink? You know, it's kind of. But I won't make fun of him because he's not here. But. Hey, there's a certain brother of ours that I go to coffee with every once in a while, and he goes in there, man, and he's got like this whole concoction figured out, you know, and I want to have, you know, with just a twist of this and a shot of that, and just give me a smidge of that and this and that, and I'm thinking, what is that? That sounds dangerous, you know, but, you know, people, they know what they like, and they get it. So, anyways, I don't know how I got off on that, but on Wednesday night, there is part of the message has been slightly shortened. It's more of, you know, we're going through Hosea. Awesome opening of Hosea last week. You missed it. You should get the tape and listen to it, or CD or whatever it is they got now, iPod or something. But the worship, the prayer time, the worship time, you know, hey, when we have that time, that's a great time to just, if you feel like standing before the Lord, worshiping him, if you feel like just bowing down, maybe even getting on your knees on the floor and worshiping him, you know, that's a great time. It's a great time. A great time to, if you feel like coming up and just kneeling down at the steps there, just before the Lord and worshiping or praying or having someone pray for you, you know, it's a great time. It's a great service. You should take advantage of it. Don't pass it up. But you see, worship is to be respectful, is to be reverent, and not wild and totally crazy, but respectful, reverent, and bowing down and prostrating ourselves before the Lord. Verse 6 of Psalm 99 says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. He kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives. I love it. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy, a psalm of thanksgiving. So Moses, Aaron, and Samuel are singled out by the psalmist here. They're singled out as examples to us. examples of men who called out to God and were heard by him. The fact that Scripture records not only the faults and flaws of each of these guys who we might consider to be giants of faith, but that the Lord forgave them should be an encouragement for us, because we're all flawed, aren't we? We all have our issues. We all have our downfalls. We all have our areas where we blow it, where we mess up. All of us. We look at these guys and we're going, man, these guys are Moses. Moses, man. The giver of the law, the one that went up on the mountain and spent all that time with God, the one that God, you know, just moved through and worked with. Moses, yeah, Moses, he blew it, didn't he? His brother Aaron. Here's Aaron. He is the head of the tribes of Levi, those who would be the head priest, the high priest, Aaron. And where do we find Aaron when Moses comes back with these stone tablets that God's given to him? He's partying with the children of Israel. They made a golden calf, worshiping a false god. That's a big blow it. But yet God forgave him, didn't he? And God still moved upon him. And he still used him. And he still blessed him, didn't he? Here, Aaron, the father of the high priest. Samuel. Man, he wasn't perfect either, but yet God forgave him. With so many guys that we look through, and we look at, you know. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you see what we call the hall of faith, all these mighty men of God, just look at what kind of blowouts they were. I mean, there's guys in there that just amaze me that their names are even listed in there, like Samson. Samson. Samson's listed in there in the hall of faith. I mean, here's a guy that was just all about himself. Oh, yeah. He was born and had been born and put underneath the Nazarite vow, but he didn't live by it. He blew it constantly. And every time something happened and he got in trouble, and he called upon the Lord for strength, it was for vengeance because of himself, because of what they did to him, never because of what they had done to God. It was always for his own glory. But yet God says, hey, I love him, and I worked in him, and I worked through him, and he did have faith in me. Even so, you see, God loves you, each and every one of us. And there's some of us that are hung up on ourselves. We're all about ourselves. We think we're too good for somebody else, or we're too good for whatever, and all. And God loves us anyways. Isn't that amazing? And then there's those of us that are here that we don't think we're good enough for anything. And God wants you to know that you're created in his image. And you don't have to worry about being good enough for the things of this world, because God Almighty has set his eyes on you, and he loves you, and you belong to him. And that's better than anything else, isn't it? Don't forget that. Don't forget who your father is. Don't forget who loves you. But so here, Scripture records the blowits. We look at David. Man, he was another one. But yet God said, that's a man after my own heart. Not his sin, but when he was following and walking right with the Lord. So the Lord chooses to see the good parts in us, the good things in us, even when we can't see the good things in ourselves. And so that is something that should cause us to praise and worship our Lord and God also, isn't it? Isn't it? Absolutely. Because of his great love for us. Okay, last Psalm, Psalm 100. It's only 5 verses long. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. The worship we give to the Lord and the work that we do for him should always be done with gladness. When I look around, I realize that the men that I most look up to, those that I really respect, are men who serve the Lord. My heroes are men of God. Those are who my heroes are. They're men of God. They're men that have lived their lives for the Lord, have served the Lord, have walked with the Lord, have set off the things of the world and said, you know, hey, I've got all these things that are going for me in the world, but they are nothing compared to the glories and the riches that I have in the Lord. And they have set forth to walk with God. Man, those are my heroes. As I look at those people, as I read their testimonies and I read their biographies, and I just, you know, those are the people. Those people who serve the Lord. I want to be like those people. When I look ahead, I realize that anything I do, even if it's nothing more than offering a cup of cold water in the Lord's name, I'll get rewarded for it. So will you. Isn't that cool? That the Lord rewards us. Jesus said in Matthew 10:42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Wow, that's amazing. The name of a disciple. Well, man, if I do it in the name of the Lord, there's an even better reward, right? I'm not going to say, here's a cup of water from the name of Peter. It's like, that's not what he's saying. That's not what it means, okay? Here's a cup of water in the name of John. That's not what he's saying. In the name of a disciple. Do you know what that means? It means in the character of a disciple. And what's a disciple? It's a follower of Jesus Christ, right? So whoever gives a cup of water in the character of one who follows the Lord shall receive a reward. Are you a disciple? Are you living for Jesus? Are you walking with him? We should get some paper cups and a pitcher of water and take them out and start giving them to people, huh? The thing is, guys, really is, hey, the Lord blesses us. When I look back, I realize that the enemy attacks the people also. As we look at this, we realize that the enemy attacks people that are in the back of the pack. Do you know that? Those who are at the back, those who aren't in the forefront, those who aren't serving the Lord. In Deuteronomy 25:18, we see where, you know, the enemy came from behind, right? Attacking Israel from behind, taking out the scragglers, taking out the weak ones, taking out those who were from behind, right? Whenever you watch a documentary and you see the lion or the leopard or what have you chasing after its prey and it's chasing after a pack, who is it chasing after? The ones that are behind, right? The ones that are in the rear. You know, if you're on the forefront, if you're in the front line, yeah, you're going to take some hits. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, right? And I don't mind. I've taken a lot of hits. I've taken some pretty big ones. That's probably why I don't think straight very well. But, you know, the thing is the thing is, I would rather be out there in the forefront serving the Lord with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, going forth, moving forward, getting hit here, getting hit there. You know, you can imagine like a landmine going off. You know, I would rather be right there in the intensity of the battle, moving forward, and know his presence, know his working, know that he's there with me, than to be somebody that's in the back, that's just being overtaken by the things of the world, being overtaken by the enemy, always being discouraged, never moving forward, never achieving, never receiving, never really being built up to the place that God would have them to be. Guys, I encourage you, don't be in the back of the pack. Move up to the front. Get involved. There's tons of stuff to do to be involved in ministry. Tons of stuff. Get involved. And then he says again, come before his presence with singing. Something happens when we put our reservations aside, as I was mentioning earlier, and we come into the Lord's presence with singing. If you feel far from the Lord, sing songs of praise to him. Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. That's what it says in Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, but you are holy, enthroned, where? In the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his people. As we gather together, as we worship him, as we sing praise unto him, or as you're driving down the road in your car and you're worshiping him, he inhabits your praises. He is there with you. God seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, if we want the Lord to bless us, then we need to worship him. And as you do, you'll find that you're in his presence as you open your mouth and you begin to worship. Okay. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You exist for God. God does not exist for you. Okay? I know you heard the commercial, have it your way. You know, you deserve a break today and it's all about you. But guess what? It's really not. Sorry, man. Don't want to bum anybody out. But it's so freeing when I figured out it's not all about me. Right? It's all about him. You know, I exist to worship him and to praise him. He's a loving father who loves us, but he is also our creator who made us. Why are we to worship him? Well, because there's benefits, there's blessings for us when we worship him, when we praise him. He inhabits our praises. He's there with us. He's close to us. But ultimately, our worship and our praise comes down to the fact that he is God and we exist for his pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And he is pleased when we worship him. Why is he pleased? Because people become like that which they worship. Did you know that? People become like that which they worship. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8 says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses, but they have, they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them, listen to this, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Take a look at the children. Take a look at the kids. Take a look at who they're listening to on the radio, who they're buying iTunes of and all that kind of stuff. Take a look at them and these different artists that they follow, and then take a look at the style of dress they have. Take a look at their actions and their attitudes. Take a look at what they're really worshiping. Take a look at a person and you'll find out what they worship. Pretty easy. We need to worship the Lord. We need to worship Him and glorify Him. Because what does He say? Those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them. And you know what? All of our idols, all the American idols, all of those idols out there, they all fall. And they all fall short. And you know what? If you make yourself like them, that's what's going to happen to you also. We need to make ourselves like the Lord. Worship Him. Be like Him. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. The best way to enter into the Lord's presence is how? That's right, by thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He has done and praising Him for who He is. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. Truly, the Lord is good, His mercy is inexhaustible, and so solid and unchanging is His truth that we can pass it on from generation to generation, even as it has been till now. Guys, I know we went a little long today, but you know what they say, sermonettes for Christianettes. And so, let's have the worship team come up and close with a song. God bless you guys. Let's go ahead. Have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You so much for Your mercies and for Your love and for Your faithfulness unto us, Lord. We pray, Jesus, that You would indeed work within our hearts. Lord, that we would learn to worship You and to praise You and to glorify You in everything that we do. Lord, we thank You that You love us even though we blow it. Lord, You paid the price for us on the cross. All we have to do is believe in the work that You've done for us and accept it and receive it. And if there's anyone here today listening on the radio, the internet, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to do that, just repeat this prayer in your heart to the Lord. And you will be saved. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I believe that You rose again on the third day and are seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I ask that You would come into my heart, that You would be my Lord and Savior. I ask, Lord, that You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I'd have the power to live the life that You set before me, and to turn away from the life that I've lived. And Lord, that You would enable me to walk in that newness and that joy. I open my heart to You now, Lord, and I give myself to You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.
What?